Okay, so tonight I want to begin. I want to look at Shoftim Perek Tes.
Somebody told me you have something really fascinating to me. This lady, I met her yesterday.
Let's pick that up. Okay, so actually, a couple of psukim before the end of Perek Tes. The end of Gideon's life. Well, we'll start from pasuk 29. Vayelach Yerubal ben Yoash vayeshev beveso. After Gideon's grand exploits. He goes back home, you know, the citizen king or the citizen warrior, right? He goes back home to live, live in the little village. Ule Gidon hayu shivim banim yotze yerecho, and Gidon, who is Yerubal, had 70 children. Kinoshim rabos hayilo, for he had many wives. Upilag sho asher bishchem yalda lo gam hi bein. And his concubine from Shechem also had a child, Vayasem Eshmo Avimelech, and he named him Avimelech. Vayamas Gidon ben Yoash b'seiva tova, and Gidon ben Yoash dies at an old age. Vayikaver b'kever Yoash aviv b'ofra avi ha'ezri. And Gidon dies at he was buried in the grave of Yoash, his father, in Ofra, of the Aviezri tribe. So I just want to point out that the pasuk goes out of its way to tell us that Yerubal Gidon had a pilegesh, and that's not what's so surprising, because it's important that he had this relationship because of the son that comes from it, but. What is less, what is somewhat troubling, is that it seems to be a non-relevant point. In other words, let's read a few more psukim and tell me at what point does this pilegesh exit the scene? All right, so we'll read the pasuk again. Upilag sho asher bishchem yaldalo gam hi ben bein. The concubine also had a child, and his name was Abimelech. Yamas Gidon ben Yoash b'seva tova. Vayikaver b'kever Yoash aviv, and Gidon dies, and he was buried in the family burial grounds. Vayhi kasher meis Gidon vayashuvu b'nei Yisrael. And when Gidon died, b'nei Yisrael returned to their sinful ways. Vayiznu acharei ha'ba'alim, and they desired to go after the avodah zarah. Vayasimu lahem ba'al bris le'elohim. And the people forgot God, who had saved them from all these enemies around them. Neither did they do kindness with the house of Yerubal, Gidon, commensurate with what he had done for them. So how long was this Pilegesh on the scene here?
Just as long as Gideon was alive.
Well, in terms of psukim, how many psukim are dedicated to her?
One.
Not even a whole pasuk, a half a pasuk. The question is, he had many children. Now, it is true that the child that emerges from her is pretty nefarious, but that would just mean that we should focus on him. Why does the Navi go out of its way to tell us about her? And
not,
you know, and what do we know about her? Well, we don't even know her name. We don't know anything about her. All we know is that she's from Shechem. Right. So Ufilag Shu Asher Bishchem, the Pilegesh from Shechem, had a son. They called him Avimelech. He died. And the Jewish people went on their evil ways or their sinful ways. Avimelech now, the son of Yerubal, he goes to Shechem to visit with Achei Imo, his uncles. Right, so she's gone. She's mentioned for a half a pasuk.
She has a
yichus.
What? She has from all other wives, only she's mentioned.
That is
correct. Well, also we say, oh, he's a royal. Yeah.
Right. Well, Avimelech is a terrible guy.
But also,
Gideon doesn't designate a successor. That's for him either. So it seems to be it's just as anarchy. It's like whoever the strongest is going to succeed getting.
Right, but the point that I'm trying to emphasize here is that the Navi goes out of its way to tell us about this woman who, and it doesn't even tell us her name, it just tells us where she's from. And the whole purpose of telling us about her is not about her, is to tell us about the dastardly deeds of her decrepit offspring. What?
Avimela, which ran away, and then Rus.
Avimela ran away?
No.
To Machshol? This Avimela. Yeah. Avimela was the name of the king that seduced the wives of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Avram and Yitzchak.
Okay. So let's read on and see if we can make some sense of this. Vayelech Avimelech ben Yerubal Shechem. Avimelech goes to Shechem to visit his uncles. Now again, it seems interesting here that the Navi is telling us where his uncles live. Shechem seems to be really a unessential point. Vayidaber lehem el mishpachas kol mishpachas beis avi imo lemor. And he spoke to his uncles and to the whole family. And he said the following, Dabruna be'aznei kol ba'alei Shechem, would you kindly speak to all the people in Shechem? Matov lachem ha'mishol b'chem shivim ish kol b'nei Yerubal imishol b'chem ish echad v'zachartem ki atzmichem v'sarchem ani. And he says, 70, you know, what's better for you? That 70 men rule over you, all the sons of Gidon, Yerubal, or that one man rule over you? And if it's one, remember that I am your flesh and bone, so that one should be me. Vayidabru ache imo alav biaznei kol ba'alei Shechem. And the uncles listened, spoke these words to the people in Shechem. By the way, emphasizing again the Shechem point. Vayet libam acharei avimelech ki amru achinuhu. And the people are swayed after Avimelech, because he made the point of the family connection. Vayitnu lo shivim kesef mi beis baal bris, and they give him some money. Vayiskor bahem Avimelech anashim reikim ufochazim vayelchu acharav, and they gave him 70 pieces of silver from the temple of baal bris. And with them, Avimelech hired boorish, impetuous men, and they followed him. So this is another interesting description here. Anashim Reikim, sort of, empty people. Pochazim. Pochazim is a very unique word in Tanakh. Doesn't come up that often. Right? So just make note of that. And Avimelech goes to the family home in Ophra, and he kills all of his 70 half brothers. But of those 70, he misses one, so he only kills 69 of them. And Yotam, the youngest, it was hidden, and he was saved.
68.
Was
he one of the 70?
No. Vayitnu lo shivim kesef.
He saved just one of them, so that.
Oh, is he one of the 70? Yeah. Okay. Could be.
70, so it has to be 68.
Could be. I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that's. Yeah. I guess so. Makes sense. Okay. Vayesu kol balei shchem v'chol beis milo vayelchu vayamlichu es avimelech lemelech. So they come together, all the co-conspirators, and they coronate Avimelech as king. Imelon mutzav asher b'shchem. And it says here, they did it by the plain of the monument which was in Shechem. Elon mutzav asher b'shchem. A lot of geographic, descriptions here. Shechem multiple times. And now we exactly where in Shechem, Elon. Vayagidu liyotam vayelach vayamad b'rosh har grizim vayisakolo vayikra. And Yotam gets up and he goes to har grizim, and he raises his voice and he calls out. Vayomer lehem shimu elai balei Shechem. So, and now he He makes a little, what's it called? The Shakespearean soliloquy. He has a little soliloquy here. So first of all, once again, the Navi points out exactly where this takes place. It takes place on Har Gerizim. Okay? So, you know, with all these descriptions of geography going on, we're going to have to ask ourselves at some point, what's the significance of that? So let's go further. So Yotam begins his soliloquy. And he says, Shuma elai ba'alei Shechem, listen up, O masters of Shechem, v'yishma lechem Elohim, and God listen to you. Haloch halchu ha'itzim l'mshoach aleihem melech v'yamru l'zayis molcha aleinu. So he says the following, and he goes through he gives a parable. His soliloquy is one long parable. It says, listen to me, O inhabitants of Shechem, so that God may listen to you. The trees went to anoint a king over themselves, and they said to the olive tree, reign over us. But, Pasuk Tes, the olive tree says, Vayomer lem Azayas, Hechdaltas dishni asher bi echabdu Elohim anashim, valachti lanu al ha'itzim. The trees went to anoint the olive tree said to them, shall I cause my richness to cease, whereby God and men honor themselves through me, and go to wave over the trees? In other words, I still have, you know, I still have what to do. I have my mission in life. My mission in life is to be an olive tree. Now I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna go and now be the king of the trees. Doesn't make sense. This is a nice year to give on Tu B'Shvat.
This is the surviving brother.
Your son, yeah, right.
The surviving brother is speaking to the Balei Shechem. He's speaking to the conspirators of Shechem, and he says to them basically, "What are you doing?" He says, "Like, what are you doing?" Right. Pasuk 10:11. Vayomer ha'itzim la te'ena. Then the trees say to the fig tree. I mean the date tree. No, the fig tree. Fig tree, shall I cause my sweetness? Oh, you reign over us. And the fig tree responds, shall I cause my sweetness and my goodly produce to cease and go to wave over the trees? Then the tree said to the grapevine, to the geffen, chadalta l'chi at. Malchi aleinu, you, grapevine, you rule over us. And the grapevine responds, shall I give up my vintage that gladdens God and men and go to wave over the trees? And all the trees went to the thorn bush, the ahatad, and said, lecha malach aleinu, you go reign over us. The thorn said to the trees, if with honesty do you anoint me as king over you, then come and take shelter in my shade. But if not, then may a flame come forth from the thorn and consume the cedars of Lebanon. All right. And now he says, Viata. Now Yotam is speaking out of the metaphor. It says, Viata. If indeed you have acted honestly in sincerity and crowned Avimelech, okay. And if you have done it appropriately with Gidon, in other words, one thing if you have acted properly. But, Pasuk 18, but you didn't do all that. But you rose up against my father's house today and murdered his sons, 70 souls on one rock. And you crowned Avimelech, son of his maidservant, over the inhabitants of Shechem, because he is your kinsman. So, in other words, you didn't act honestly. So if you have acted with honesty and in sincerity toward Yerubal and toward his household this day, then rejoice with Avimelech and let him also rejoice with you. Clearly he's saying, you know, you haven't acted appropriately. V'yamayin teitse esh me Avimelech, and if not, may a fire go forth from Avimelech and consume the inhabitants of Shechem, Beis Milo, v'yanas yotam v'yivrach v'yelech be'era. He said his peace and he ran away. And he went into to live in Be'er to escape from Avimelech, his brother. Okay. So we have here I mean, the story continues. It's a it's a fascinating story. But I what I want to sort of point out up until now, that which requires, you know, some explication is what is the significance of Shechem here, Har Gerizim? And there's, you know, it's not just mentioned once or twice. Even the Pilegish, the mother of Avimelech, is identified not as who she is, but simply where she's from.
So is that revenge of Shimon Levi killing Yitzchak?
So the question is, what is the significance here? Now, let's go further and see how the story unfolds, because it's really a gripping story. Vayasar Avimelech al Yisrael shalosh shanim, and Avimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. Vayishlach Elohim ruach ra'ah ben Avimelech uvein ba'al Shechem, and after 3 years, Hashem sent a bad spirit, ruined the relationship between Avimelech and Shechem. Vayivgedu ba'al Shechem ba'Avimelech, and they rose up to rebel against him. Lavo Hamas Shivim Bnei Yerubal, so that the violence against the 70 sons of Yerubal would come back upon, and their blood would be placed upon Avimelech, their brother, who murdered them, and upon the inhabitants of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to murder his brothers. In other words, revenge is they're going to get their due. Vayasimu lo Bale Shechem Arvim al Rashei Haharim. And the Baalei Shechem, the people of Shechem, set up ambushes on the mountains, and they robbed anyone who would pass them on the road. And this was told to Avimelech. Vayavo Ga'al ben Eved ve'achav vayavru b'Shechem. And now Ga'al ben Eved and his brothers come to Shechem. V'yivtichu bo Baalei Shechem, and the people of Shechem trusted him. Vayetzu hasadeh, vayivtzuras karmehem, vayidruchu, vayasu hilulim, vayavo'u beis Eloheim, vayochlu, vayishtu, vayikalalu as Avimelech. They had a grand old time, parties, and they cursed Avimelech. So this is the guy who they first took as king over them, and now they're rising up against him. Vayomer Gaal ben Eved mi Avimelech umi Shechem. So Gaal says, who's Avimelech and who's Shechem? Kinavdenu. That we should serve Avimelech. Halo ben Yerubal uzvul pekido ivdu es anshei chamor avishchem umadu anavdenu anachnu. These people were servants to the people of Shechem, to anshei chamor all those years ago. Why should we now serve the servants of chamor? Umi tenes amazeh biyadi vasira Avimelech vayomer la Avimelech rabet sevaacha vitzeya. Pasuk 29, if only someone would give this people into my hand and I would depose Avimelech. He said to Avimelech, reinforce your army and come out. In other words, challenging him for a duel at the OK Corral. Vayishma Zvul, Sar Ha'ir, es divrei Gaal ben Oved, vayicharapo. Zvul hears about this and he gets very angry at Gaal. Vayishlach malachim al Avimelech besar malei mor, and he sends messengers to Avimelech and he says, Hine Gaal ben Eved v'yachav ba'im Shechema. Behold, Gaal ben Eved and his band of brothers is coming toward Shechem. V'hinam tzarim es ha'ir alecha. They're going to, they are sieging the city. V'yata kum laila atava amasher etchaver of basada. You go lay an ambush on them. V'hayaba boker kizrach hashemesh. Do it at the night time, and when the sun comes up in the morning, then tashkim ufashatata al ha'ir. V'nehu v'ham asher etchaver yotzim elecha v'sisalok asher timtza v'yadecha. They'll be coming out to you, and you will be able to surprise them. V'yakam Avimelech v'chol ham asher imo laila. And Avimelech gets up with all his people in the middle of the night. Vayervu al Shechem, and they lay an ambush on Shechem. Vayetze Gaal ben Eved vayamod pesach shar ha'ir vayakam Avimelech v'am asher ito min amarav. And when Gaal leaves the city in the morning, so Avimelech and the people ambush him. Vayar Gaal es ha'am vayomer ozvul hinei i'am yored merashe ha'harim. Gaal saw the people and said to Zvul, behold, people are descending from the mountaintops. Vayomer elav Zvul es tzel ha'harim atarei kan Hashem. Ah, you're seeing shadows. That's not people. But he was wrong. Gaal is speaking, and the people say, I think you might want to look at this again. The people are coming. They're coming from the plains of Me'onanim. And Zvul said to him, where then is your mouth that you would say, who is Avimelech that we should serve him? In other words, haha, is this not the people you scorned? Go now, if you please, and battle it. Gal goes out before the people of Shechem, and he battles with Avimelech. Avimelech chases after him. And Avimelech settled in Aruma, and Zvul drove out Gaal and his kinsmen from living in Shechem. Last piece over here. Vayhimi macharas. The next day, vayetzeh amasadeh, vayagidu Avimelech. The people come out to the field, and they told all this to Avimelech. He took his people, and he divided them into three companies, and he set an ambush in the field. He watched, and behold, as the people were leaving the city, he rose up against them and struck them. And he smote them. And Avimelech subdued and killed and vanquished the city. And he laid the city to rubble. And he poured salt on it. In other words, he couldn't grow anything. And the inhabitants of Migdal Shechem heard this. They came to Migdal Beis El Brit. And Avimelech was told that all the inhabitants of the Tower of Shechem had gathered there. So Avimelech went. Vayal Avimelech Har Salmon, Hu v'chol am asher ito, Vayikach Avimelech es hakardumos biyado, Vayichrot sochas etzim, Vayisaeha vayasem al shechmo, Vayomer al am asher imo, Marisa masisa maharu asu chamoni. He cut down this wood, and he told the people, you cut down wood, chop the wood also. Vayichrotu kol ha'am, Vayelchu achar Avimelech. The people chopped wood and came with Avimelech. They set the wood ablaze. Vayamutu gam kol anshei Migdal Shechem ke'elef ish v'isha. 1,000 men and women died in Shechem on that day. Vayelech Avimelech el Teveitz, and Avimelech went to Teveitz and encamped there. Vayukada, and he vanquished the place. Umigdaloz haya b'toch ha'ir vayanusu shama kol hanashim v'anashim v'chol bal ha'ir v'yiskru ba'adam v'yalu al gag ha'migdal. The people in the city ran to the tower and went up to save themselves. Vayavo Avimelech ha'migdal. Avimelech comes. He battles. Vayigash as Pesach ha'migdal or sarfo ba'esh. He gets close and he's going to light it a flame. Vatashlech isha achas, and a woman drops a brick al rosh Avimelech. Vataratz es gul galto. What? Yeah, and she crushed his skull. But the ikram heira al anar no sechila vayomer lo shlof harbecha umos aseini pen yomru li isha harag tohu. He says, "Do me a favor." He says to his assistant, "Kill me. I don't want people to say that a woman killed me." And he stabbed him and he kills him.
He wasn't dead after this thing fell on his head.
Well,
he's pretty resilient.
The people saw that Avimelech is dead. And everybody went back home. And God thus repaid the evil of Avimelech that he had done to his father by murdering his 70 half-brothers. And all the evil of the men of Shechem, God brought back upon their heads, and the curse of Yotam, the son of Yerubal, came upon them. So this is exactly the curse that Yerubal said. Okay. So I want to go back to the central question which I asked.
That,
not what it said, Pilegesh. Well, yes, why did it say Pilegesh? And I think it says Pilegesh not really to tell us that she was a Pilegesh or anything about that, but to point out the thing of Shechem. Shechem seems to be the running theme here. This whole story is about the people of Shechem, a mother of a boy of Shechem, a boy who grew up to do evil, and he was from Shechem. What's the point here about Shechem? So on the one hand, you know, when we think of Shechem, we think about Shimon v'Levi Achim, right? Klei Chamas v'Chei Roseim. The Shimon and Levi went in and they wiped out Shechem. And in a certain sense, you know, maybe this is a payback, you know, a cosmic payback. Because here you have the 70 brothers of 70 sons of Gideon, the leaders of the people at the time, who are wiped out by the leader of Shechem. So in a certain way, maybe this is like a, I don't know if you say Mida Keneged Mida, but it's, you know, it's Hashem settling scores in the you know, in the cosmic, on the cosmic plane, right? So and there's even an interesting reference to Shimon and Levi here when it's a hint, if you will. No, not Elon. When it says that Avimelech went and gathered up a whole bunch of people that were Rekim Upochazim. Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar. Oh, no, that's not Shimon HaLevi. Pachas Kamayim Al Tosar Ki Alisa Mishkevei Avicha. That's actually Reuven.
I mean, Shimon HaLevi were called in Petrus by Yaakov. Pochazim, that, you know, they did that.
No. In Birchus, one second. Take a look at Berchus Yaakov at the end of Bereishis. Vayigash right. Vayichi. Where is it? Page 126. Shimon v'Levi Achim Klei Chamas b'Cheroseihem. B'Sodam al Tavon Afshi b'Kolam al Tichal Kvodin ki b'Apam Hargreishu v'Ratzonam k'ur Shor Ara Apam ki Oz v'Versam ki Kashas Achim b'Galikov Afitzein b'Yisrael. No, so I take that back. I was mistaken. I wasn't thinking straight. Pachas Kamayim, that's Reuven. Okay, all right. But nevertheless, you know, in some level, you know, here you have the you know, the people of Shechem coming and killing all the, and you can imagine that when Avimelech came to see his brothers, you know, you could imagine that he didn't necessarily come. They weren't. They didn't necessarily believe that this was a, you know, that their lives were in danger. It was their brother coming. But when their brother shows up, he murders them.
His name itself, Avimelech, meaning king.
Well, Avimelech is his father was a king. Right, and he functions in the, so he goes representing Shechem, and again, you know, there's a little speculation on my part here, but just like the brothers went and they deceived the people of Shechem, you can imagine Avimelech coming, and they were probably deceived into believing that this was just their brother coming. You know, there's no mention that in the pasuk that they did anything other than die. Like, why did they put up why did they put up a fight? These are the leaders. These are right. There's no hint of it. There's no
hint of rebellion.
Between whom and whom?
The brothers or anybody against
them. Right. It says Avimelech shows up and he kills them. So what I'm suggesting is that this is really a, you know, Mida Keneged Mida for what happened with Shechem and the brothers and Shimon v'Levi and the brothers all those years earlier. Okay. But that's just, I think, a, you know, it's a speculation and it's a minor point. I think the bigger point here is to look at Shechem. So let's think about Shechem in the history of the Jewish people. So let's take a look at where Shechem enters the stage. That is in Bereishis, Perek Yud Beis, Parshas Lach Lecha. So go take a look at the beginning of Lach Lecha. Okay. Start from the beginning. Vayomer. Well, no, actually, won't start from the beginning. Yeah, we'll start from the beginning. Vayomer. Hashem levram lech lecha miartzchem eladetcha el aretz asher yakav eschal goy gadol vayei bracha varecha mevarchecha makalelcha or pasuk dalid vayelech Avraham kasher diber alav Hashem page 24 Avram goes. Vayetzu aleches arza Kanaan. Vayavo arza Kanaan. They arrive in Kanaan. Vayavo Avram ba'aretz ad mekom Shechem ad Elon Moreh. Avram makes it. This is Avram's first stop. And here in Shechem, Avram builds a mizbeach.
So it does say Elon.
And it does say Elon, but the Elon is not what you said. The Elon is Shechem, is Avram, Elon Moreh. Vayira Hashem Elav, and God appears to him. And he tells him that he's is making this blessing of the, I will give your children this land. Haknanias ba'aretz. You know, the Kananim are lurking in the shadows. Why, even in the shadows of the story, I should say. The promise is there, but underlying the promise is that there are Canaanites there. Vayiven sham mizbeach l'Hashem hanira elav, and Avram makes a mizbeach. Vayatek misham haharam mikenel leveisel vayeta halo, and he sets up his tents all the way to Beitel. Vayiven sham mizbeach l'Hashem vayesavram haloch v'nasoh hanegba, and he goes to the Negev. So here, the first time that Shechem is mentioned in the Tanakh, it's in the context of Avraham coming there and having this encounter with Hashem. That's a pretty positive thing. Next significant time we have Shechem is with Yaakov. Take a look at Perek Lamed Gimel 33:18. 33:18. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. Yaakov had this whole thing with his brother Esav, right? And now he finally reunites with Esav. He was concerned that maybe Esav was going to try to kill him, but in fact, the reunification with Esav works out quite well. But they part ways, and Yaakov goes to Shalem. Yaakov goes to Shechem. Yavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. Yaakov comes whole to the city of Shechem. Vayichanes Pnei Ha'ir, and he encamps at the edge of the city. Vayikanes Chalkas Hasadah Asher Natah Hashem Ha'alo Miyad Bnei Chamor Avi Shechem, and he purchases a portion of the field from the children of Chamor Avi Shechem. And he makes a mizbeach. So here is the second entry onto the stage, and Shechem is none other than a place of encountering God. Right? He buys it from Shechem, from Chamor, and he builds a mizbeach. Vayikra lo kel Elokei Yisrael. So Shechem seems to be a really, you know, a place of a spiritual place of where you encounter God, like almost like the Beis Hamikdash, if you will. Bereishis Lamed Hey, 35, Pasuk 2. Yaakov is now going to, after his sojourning, is going to return to Teretz Kanaan. Vayomer Elohim El Yaakov Kumale Beis El. He's going to go to Beis El. Sorry. Vasei Shem Mizbeach, and you make a Mizbeach. Vayomer Yaakov El Beiso, and Yaakov says to his family, Hasiros Elohane Charsher Besochem Vitaru Vachlifu Simlo Sechem. Remove all the avodah zarah that you have. Vinakuma Vinale Beis El, and we'll go up to Beis El. And they gave Yaakov all of the idol worship, all of the idols. And he buries it there, right there in Shechem. So Shechem is on the one hand a place of, a place where Avraham meets Hashem. But it says v'haknanias ba'aretz. It's a place where Yaakov meets Hashem, but it's also the place where they had Avodah Zarah. In fact, he buries the Avodah Zarah there. Let's go further. In Yehoshua, Perek Chaf Dalad. Yehoshua, Perek Chaf Dalad. Pasuk 25. Yoshua Perichav Dalet. Page 578. Okay. So, Vayomer Yoshua El Ha'am, Eidim Atem Bachem Ki Atem Bachartem Lachem Es Hashem Lavodoso. Yoshua says to the people, this is his swan song. You know, you chose this life for yourselves. Ve'ata Asiros Elohei HaNechar, I want you to remove the idols that you have amongst you. Vayomru Amel Yoshua Es Hashem Elokeinu Navod, we will serve Hashem. Vayichrot Yoshua Bris La'am Bayom Ahu. And Yoshua creates a covenant, or he, you know, makes a covenant with the people. Vayasem lechok u'mishpat b'shchem, and he sets down decrees and laws for them in Shchem. So here we have in Yoshua his swan song as he's giving his final words to the people. He makes a bris, a covenant with Hashem. At the same time that there's a bris, this is also the place, apparently, where the people were doing Elohei Nechar, idol worship. So once again, we see this sort of, this mixture, if you will. It's a place where you encounter Hashem, but it's also a place that seems to, you know, to harbor some dark forces as well. We go to our Perek in Shoftim, Perek Tes. Right? But there are a few other places which, since we're running out of time, we'll just mention them. Divrei Hayamim. Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Vav points out that Shechem was an Ir Miklat and an Ir Levim in the time of David HaMelech. Right? It was an Ir Miklat. So that's a very good place. An Ir Miklat. This is the where the Levim live. The Kohanim too. That is correct. And then once again, even when we have this great encounter with Hashem, it's an Ir Levim, an Ir Miklat. It is an Ir Levim. It's an encounter with Hashem. It's an Ir Miklat. It's a sanctuary city where criminals who accidentally murdered can manslaughter can come in and seek. But the assumption is that these are unsavory people, because savory people don't accidentally murder. That's the, that's sort of the thought process behind it. So here you have again, Shechem is identified as an Ir Miklat and Ir Levim. It has this sort of mixed reputation or this mixed ingredients going on here. The Navi in Malachim, Sefer Malachim, says that this is the place of where Rechavam was coronated as king. Right? Rechavam, the son of David HaMelech. That's a beautiful thing. Malachim also says that Shechem is the place where Yeravam ben Nevat began his rebellion against David HaMelech. So here you have again Shechem, the coronation of Rechavam, and Shechem, you have the rebellion of Yeravam against the Rechavam. It's both the place of spiritual greatness and also the place where this nefarious stuff is going on. So it has this mixed character to it. There are forces of light and darkness all around. So how do we understand? And then, of course, Dina and Shechem. Dina and Shechem. So what is the story of Dina and Shechem? Think about it for a second. Right? She goes out
to see what the daughters of the city were doing. And then,
right.
And the king had a fancy for her. And he basically took liberties. And then he wanted to merge the family, Israel and the people of Shechem together.
Right.
And Levi and...
In a certain way, and I know that this is, you know, this is not the only way to look at the Pesukim, but in a certain way, Shechem ben Hamor is really a sympathetic figure. He did wrong, but he wanted to correct it and do right. And, you know, again, I'm not saying you can't read the Pesukim carefully, very critically of Shechem, but he wanted to do the right thing. In a certain sense, Shechem is a person who does tshuva. or at least attempts to do tshuva. The brothers come in, and they make a deal, and then they wipe out the city. So here you have, the whole thing is light and dark. You know, it starts with Shechem, raping Dina. That's pretty dark. On the other hand, he wants to do tshuva and actually marry her, and it says he loves her. He wants to do the right thing. So that's light. Brothers come in. They cut a deal. The deal was sort of rotten from the beginning. So Shechem here is even, this is the darkest, I think, place where we are the darkest of the moments of Shechem. So we have Shechem, the very first place that Moshe, that Avram Avinu visits. It's a place Yaakov, they build Mizbeachs there. It's a place where Yerchavam is coronated. And yet it's also the place of Yeravam's revolution. It's the place where, Shechem and Dina, it's the place where they buried their Avodah Zarah. It's the place where the Haknani Az Ba'aretz. So how do we understand Shechem over here, and certainly in light of our parak of Gidon? So I think that the answer lies in another geographic little tidbit, which is pointed to in our parak. That is, Shechem lies between two mountains, Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Yotam goes to Har Gerizim and he
in the Brachos.
What?
Gerizim with the Brachos.
Har Gerizim is north of Shechem, the Brachos, and Eval is south, I believe, south of Shechem. That's the Klalos. By the way, I learned something new, which I did not know. If you know it, then I'll just reinforce something that you know. Maybe it's new to you as well. I don't know. You know how the town Nablus is, why the town of Shechem in today is called Nablus? So apparently, when the Romans conquered Judea, they raised Shechem, and they built a new city there called Neopolis, the new city, Neopolis. Now, Arabs, in Arabic, doesn't have a P, it's a B. So you can see how Neopolis became Neobolis, became Nablus. So that's why Nablus is called Nablus, because it's the Roman Neopolis, right? Not Shechem. Right. So back here one more time. So Shechem is between Har Gerizim and Har Eval. We have an idea in Judaism that a place that a person is sort of impacts them. A place has a certain energy to it. It has a certain tonality. It has it can impact a person. If a person wants to change, they should be mishana makom. They should change their place sometimes. Changing their behavior and changing a place, changing their name. The Gemara says there are a few different ways a person can try to do a change. They can be mishana the shame, right? We know when a person is very ill, we give them a shinoi shame in order to help change their circumstance. Sometimes of yesh omrim mishana makom. So a place has a thing to it. What is, if you had to characterize, let's say, Yerushalayim is inherently makom hamikdash. It is kodesh, kedusha. If you had to look at one really bad city, what would be Sodom and Amorah? These are not good places. Right, Yerushalayim is kulo tov, if you want to say it that way, and Sodom, it's a bad place, and even Lot, who ends up in Sodom, he gets influenced by the place. But a place has an impact. I was actually just listening to NPR on the way here. Something about the guy was telling a story about connecting with artifacts. So, and like he connects with artifacts, and somehow like he feels like impact. Like he holds a a document that has the signature of Abraham Lincoln. He feels like he's like right in that place when Abraham Lincoln was signing it. So they had this chair, I don't know, from some empress of Japan or China or something like that. And they, you know, sitting in the chair, you know, can you feel like, you know, so a place has has an impact.
Like when you go to a museum.
Right. You daven in a shul, hopefully that has a different feel than davening out, just in any room, or davening in your house. The halacha is that if a person is going to daven with a minyan, he's best to daven with a minyan. But if a person is not going to daven with a minyan, he has a choice to daven in shul without a minyan or at home without a minyan. So you daven in shul without a minyan, because there's something about the place. So what's the nature of Shechem? If Yerushalayim is, I would say, a makom kodesh, and Sodom is evil incarnate, Shechem is a mixed bag. Shechem lies between Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And the question of Shechem is not so much what Shechem will do to you, the question is what you will do to Shechem. Shechem is the place where you determine. You determine. So if we think about our, you know, all these situations, you know, that we mentioned, it, you know, so Shechem is a mixed bag because you determine it. So Shechem could Shechem is the place where there's coronation of the king. It's a case of rebellion of the king. It's a place where Yehoshua. Where Yehoshua makes a bris, it's a place where they bury their avodah zarah. It's a place where Avram goes, v'aknani az ba'aretz. It's the place where Yaakov makes a mizbeach, and also they bury their their avodah zarah there. It's the place of ir miklat and ir levim. It's a place of kedusha, ir levim, and it's a place where we bring in the murderers, the murders b'shogeg, because this is a place where, done right, you know, you can reform yourself. Okay, so shoftim. So here you have, this is, I think, Gideon's parting shot. But before I make my concluding sentence, you had a comment you wanted to make.
Isn't Shechem? Isn't that where in the plain near Shechem, where Joseph was put in the pit and sold to the Ishmaelites?
Yosef is actually buried in Shechem.
And then, the place is sanctified because Joseph is interned.
Nice.
In Shechem.
Very nice.
And yet, the Arabim left up his grave and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, very nice. That's a very nice point. So, I think that if we go back to Shoftim now, Perek Tes, and conclude, I think that. Let's just get the Perek here. Yeah. This is Gideon's parting shot. Ulegidon hayu shivim banim yotzei recho kinashim rabos hayulo. He had 70 children. Ufilagsho asher bishchem yaldalo gam hiben. I think it's 70 plus one, by the way. The way this pasuk reads, he had 70 kids, and he also had a pilagesh. Right, so I think it's not 69 plus one. I think it's 70 plus one.
Yeah, maybe
he had
70 regular children.
Yeah, looks like he had
72. Vayasem eshmo avimelech.
Who?
Why 72?
Because
yeah. 70 people.
Right, it makes sense.
72.
And
right.
The guy who...
Yes,
right.
I guess that is the pshat of the pasuk, but it could mean that he
tried to kill all 70 of them and he missed one, you know. But
in any case, 71.
In any case, at minimum 71. All right. So I think this is, you know, Gideon's like sort of final will and testament, because who names Avimelech? Avimelech. Who names him?
Was it Pelegesh or was it Gideon?
Well, look at the pasuk. Upilagsho asher bishchem yaldalo gam hi bein vayasem es shmo Avimelech. What does vayasem mean?
He named him.
He named him. So Gideon named this kid Avimelech. And I think that what Gideon is doing here is maybe putting his faith in this kid and saying, here in Shechem, if we want Klal Yisrael, if we want Klal Yisrael to like sort of do the right thing, or if we want Klal Yisrael, the hope of Klal Yisrael is in Avimelech from Shechem. Because Shechem is a place where you determine. The place doesn't determine you. What? Okay. I mean, it's all mitzvahs. Bechira chafshis, where you make your decisions. And that is really lasting. When it's the place that is goreim, that is impacting you, so okay. But if you move to that other place, maybe you'll change as well. Maybe you'll be a chameleon. Shechem is actually an extraordinary place. Shechem is an extraordinary place because you craft yourself in Shechem. And Gideon calls him Avimelech. We don't know any of the other kids' names. But by calling this kid Avimelech, it seems to indicate that that the Navi is telling us that this kid is meant for royalty. The kid of the Pilegesh from Shechem. Now, what?
The kid's also from Judah.
Yes.
The kid has the two sides.
Right, right. So, you know, he has the makings to be extraordinary. But in the end, he misses his, he misses his mark. So, you know, and this is the bane of the period of the Shoftim. But even though Avimelech's story ends really in tragedy, I think that there's something extraordinarily powerful in Avimelech, just in his existence. And reading the story this way, you can, I mean, from a distance, obviously, if you lived at that time and you were a victim of his tragedy, you could probably only feel anger. But from a distance, it's really sad. It's a sad story, Avimelech. And that sad story leads to real human tragedy. But Avimelech could have been Avimelech. And he turns out just to be the kid of a Pilegesh from Shechem. And so our story sort of limps along now in Shoftim as Gideon and his legacy, you know, come to a whimpering end. And we move.
Avimelech also influenced by his times. He was born and grew up at the time of the Shoftim. There was chaos and all these terrible things. So was he also a product of the environment in which he was raised?
Perhaps. Perhaps. Yeah, but you know, I don't know how long he lived. It doesn't say how long he overlapped with his father. It says, you know, Vayasem Oso Avimelech. Vayasem Shmo Avimelech. He names him Avimelech, and then it says Vayamas Gideon Ben Yov B'Seiva Tova. So I don't know how much time elapses, but one would surmise that by saying Vayamas Gideon B'Seiva Tova, that, you know, he lived a long life, to old age. He had this kid and he lived to an old age. To me, that sounds like he lived for a long time after that. So Avimelech knew his father, I would think. So, right, a cautionary tale, but also one which, if you think about it, is quite empowering. Because it is empowering because it tells us that really most of life is like Shechem, is between Har Gerizim and Har Eval. You know, we go up to Yerushalayim for Shalosh Regalim. And hopefully we don't spend any time in Sodom. Most of life is in Shechem, right? Shechem means the shoulder, right? Shechem means the shoulder. Our head is between two shoulders, right? And we use our head to use our bechira chafshis in order to make those right decisions. Okay, we'll pause here. Yirtzeh Hashem, continue next week.